From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico. Missourians will vote on an amendment to put abortion rights in the state constitution after the Missouri Supreme Court put it back on the ballot.
This case was about whether the people's right to engage in direct democracy would be protected or if it was just a right in name only, vulnerable to the whims of politicians.
STLPR's Brian Moline and Jason Rosenbaum discuss. Plus, jazz musician Esperanza Spalding says she's a perfect fit for this weekend's Music at the Intersection Festival.
When I hear Music at the Intersection, I think of intersectionality of storytelling and ethnicities and music styles. And that's kind of where I orient naturally.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin spoke with Spalding about her expansive style. Those plus other news stories for this Wednesday, September 11th, coming up on The Gateway. The question of whether to put the right to an abortion in the Missouri state constitution will be up for a vote this November. This comes after the Supreme Court reversed another ruling that aimed to keep what's called Amendment 3 off the ballot. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Moline and Jason Rosenbaum discuss how this unfolded and how the court's decision could have a massive impact on abortion rights in the state.
So, Jason, what did the Missouri Supreme Court decide on Tuesday?
The Missouri Supreme Court reversed a lower court ruling saying that the measure known as Amendment 3 couldn't be on the November 5th ballot because it didn't specify which laws would be overturned if it passed. The court also ordered Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft to certify the measure for the ballot, which the Republican statewide official did on Tuesday afternoon. It's a huge victory for abortion rights proponents who were watching this very rapid legal process closely. There were a lot of nerves over the past 72 hours or so, and now there's just a whole lot of relief.
And Jason, this took place the same day as oral arguments in the case. What were your big takeaways from what the lawyers had to say?
One of the key arguments that was brought forth by proponents of Amendment 3 is that Cole County Judge Christopher Limbaugh misinterpreted a statute that he thought requires constitutional amendments to say which laws would be repealed if it passed. The opponents of Amendment 3 argued that the statute speaks for itself and that voters should have a clear sense of what they're deciding this November. Clearly, the Supreme Court sided with the proponents of Amendment 3 in this case.
What has the reaction been among abortion rights supporters and opponents?
Well, abortion rights opponents say that they are now motivated to try to defeat Amendment 3, but they're going to have an uphill battle. Even Republicans like State Senator Jason Bean, who represents a Southeast Missouri Senate district that voted for Donald Trump by a huge margin, told the Politically Speaking podcast recently that he expects the abortion legalization measure to pass because he's heard from his own constituents that the current status quo, which bans abortion with the exception of medical emergencies, is just a bridge too far.
I hear that all over, to be honest. So, yes, I think exactly what you just said, not having some of those exceptions, I fear that it's going to pass. I think it will.
And so it sounds like you think this measure has a pretty good chance for passage when voters decide on it in November.
I think so. And while I would say anything can happen between now and November, the proponents of Amendment 3 have a huge financial advantage. There's also polling from St. Louis University and YouGov showing that it has about 52% of the vote. And that's before any ad campaign has started. And Tori Schaefer, who's an attorney that helped defend Amendment 3 in court, is also confident that Missourians will find favor with her proposal.
This case was about whether the people's right to engage in direct democracy would be protected or if it was just a right in name only, vulnerable to the whims of politicians. Today, the court affirmed that the people will have the final say.
It all sets up a very high-stakes showdown on November 5th, and it could change the face of abortion rights policy in Missouri for the foreseeable future.
That was STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum and Brian Moline talking about Tuesday's Supreme Court ruling placing an abortion legalization amendment back on the November 5th ballot. You can read more coverage of this decision at stlpr.org. Missouri's Attorney General and the state's Division of Alcohol and Tobacco Control are investigating unregulated psychoactive cannabis products. It's part of Governor Mike Parson's latest effort to ban hemp-derived edibles because he says the packaging is deceptively aimed towards children. House Majority Leader John Patterson says he's pushing to regulate the industry.
In the next session, this is something that we'll pursue, trying to provide a regulatory framework for these products, some rules in place so that they're not marketed towards kids.
The Department of Health and Senior Services began its enforcement of the ban on September 1st, visiting more than 60 retailers. In a statement, the Missouri Hemp Trade Association said it agrees that illegal products should be removed from store shelves. But in this effort, it says DHSS is also removing legal products to the detriment of small businesses. In East St. Louis, the child poverty rate is triple the national average. St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports on a forum held Tuesday where educators, government officials, and community members proposed solutions.
Children's Advocates for Change, a Chicago-based nonprofit, hosted more than 100 people at the day-long forum at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville's Learning Center in East St. Louis. Tasha Green-Cruzat is president of Children's Advocates for Change. She says the forum inspired hope for eradicating child poverty.
It affects their health, education, and overall well-being. Yet amidst these challenges, we also witness the resilience of our community and the unwavering commitment of our individuals and organizations.
Speakers covered a brief history of population decline in East St. Louis and how government policy has addressed child poverty. Their potential solutions included a state child tax credit and more funding for public schools. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
A University of Missouri professor has successfully identified new early-stage molecules, work that could be used to combat future coronaviruses. Dr. Dimitri Key-Reeve ranked third in the latest cash challenge from the nonprofit biotech company Conscience. The challenge asked participants to use their AI drug design algorithms to predict new molecules that could be used as the basis for future coronavirus antiviral therapeutics. Key-Reeve says Conscience then tested the potential molecules in the lab setting and determined which ones will work at no cost to smaller academic groups and companies.
So it's an equalizer indeed between players of different scale in drug discovery, which obviously eventually is a great benefit to patients.
He adds the challenge has already opened doors for new research projects aimed at moving their molecules into the next steps of drug development. Esperanza Spalding has grown from a child prodigy on violin into a multiple Grammy-winning bassist and vocalist whose ever-evolving sound is based in jazz but knows no genre boundaries. She's one of the headlines of the Music at the Intersection Festival in St. Louis this weekend. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin recently spoke to Spalding about her career and musical approach.
In 2011, you were nominated for the Best New Artist Grammy in a field that included Drake, Justin Bieber, Mumford & Sons, people who had big hits that year, big pop culture presences.
Florence and the Machine.
Florence and the Machine.
Yes, I did invite a bunch of friends and family, and we were just like, this is so ridiculous. Kind of like, ooh, look at us, like interlopers, you know? This is hilarious.
And the Grammy for Best New Artist goes to Esperanza Spalding.
What did that do for you in terms of the opportunities you had in the business from then on?
If there was some big, like, golden door that opened, we didn't really know how to walk through it or what to do with it. And I honestly think that if the music you're making doesn't fit like a certain kind of allowable, you know, aesthetic, yeah, you're only gonna get so far in that world. Here comes the part you know. I have always been a little insubordinate about doing what I hear, even if later I regret it. And that, I think, already put kind of like a cap on what I could, like, quote unquote, achieve in whatever trajectory the winning of Best New Artist could open for you. And I don't know that there was space for my weird little, like, hybrid jazz thing to move that way.
Most recently, you recorded an album with Milton Nascimento, the great Brazilian vocalist. You did a Tiny Desk home concert for NPR recently, and it's the group all in Milton's house. He's sitting in a comfortable chair. You're standing and playing bass in front of a shelf of LPs. The music sounds really wonderfully alive in that context.
Yes. I'm glad people got to see him sitting in the throne of his musicianship, you know.
When you're in St. Louis, are you going to be showcasing the new album, or is it a different kind of mode for a festival?
Ooh. Instead of trying to like a big conceptual ta-da thing, I just want to play and sing songs. So I don't know what kind of energy festival goers are expecting. When I hear music at the intersection, I think of interdisciplinary. I think of intersectionality of storytelling and ethnicities and music styles. And that's kind of where I orient naturally. So I'm trusting that the thing I already am doing will be a perfect fit for the festival.
Yeah, and I think they have all that in mind. Also the geographic element of it being St. Louis, but definitely telling a story of music, particularly Black American music, and its many branches and shapes.
Exactly. I feel like an intersection, you know? I mean, I feel like there isn't one Black cultural identity. As we know, there isn't one Black music. It's like there's such infiniteness and nuance in the Black experience, the Black American experience, the Black American cultural experience. Yeah, living in that is an intersection.
That was musician Esperanza Spalding speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.